Amen. Thanks, Merv. I just want to thank the Sunnydale congregation for the way that you received me and us over the weekend. It's been incredible and an absolute privilege. I really do say that. So, it's been wonderful. And looking forward to what the Lord is wanting to do. And it's been great having so many of the Durbanville AM congregation here as well. We're one family, we've one field, and it's just wonderful. Even the prayer meeting, it feels like there's a mutual benefit tonight. We're here to bless and partner with you, but you've also been a blessing to us. May we continue to take hold of what the Lord has for us. So we had a lovely day, spent some time with, we actually took pensioners out to have fun. To the pensioners, we took Jock and Jeanette to go play some paddle. But I have to say, it's with a heavy heart that I say that they wasted us. We got a proper hiding. sometimes it's age does help. I'm just joking. But it's been wonderful just to connect with you guys and spend the day with you. Just a wonderful congregation. So, I trust as we minister, it will equip you tonight. I do feel tonight's going to be more of an equipping, because there is a sense, as we shared earlier on, that the Lord is preparing this congregation for new rain. There's something fresh that He wants to do. It's not that we forget the old wells, but there's an expectation of new rain coming for this congregation. There's an expectation of expansion, and that God wants to do something in each one and grow each one. And there's something about the apostolic and the prophetic working together. And I have to be honest, all the stuff that was said about me, Merv's introduction here, I don't feel like there's a lot of apostolic guys moving around. You heard that in the prayer. And there are some guys that you probably could have gotten. But I do sense in the Lord that He's given me something for the congregation. And although I'm not here boasting in what God has called me, but there's a sense that I don't think much of myself, but there's something burning in my heart. And that I want to deliver faithfully, because He's purposed this weekend. But there's something about partnering with the prophetic. And Jeanette, if you can quickly share that word. And Jono. And on the back of them sharing, I'll share.
This weekend I was reading Psalm 84, and everything that Kevin has been doing has been underpinning, the scripture seems to underpin what he's saying. And he says here in Psalm 84, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, a place near your altar. And a sparrow is considered an insignificant bird in terms of it's one of those that are seen as maybe the lesser. And a swallow is seen as being a restless bird. And it's almost felt like the Lord saying to us, if you feel insignificant, if you feel like you're restless, the Lord has added you to us, into this house, to worship and praise the Lord. And then it says, as they pass through the valley of Bacar, they make it a place of springs. And such a sense of, Kevin's been bringing a word of, the Holy Spirit in us, that fountain that overflows. And as we walk through the valley of this life, not through, through the toils of this world, we are able, through the Spirit, to make it a place of springs. And it goes on, and it's beautiful. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And there's something on this, that in this house, we get to praise the Lord together. Whether we're restless, whether we feel insignificant, God has added us to this place to worship and praise Him and find a home here.
Excellent. Is there anyone, just want to pray, if you feel, even for both congregations, if you feel insignificant, if you feel restless, this is a word where the Lord says, I want to touch you. I want to raise you up and use you. So just if you feel like that, just stretch out your hands to the Lord. Lord, I pray for those that feel insignificant and restless. Lord, would you come and minister to them right now? Thank you that there's streams of living waters that gush forth everyone who believe in you, Lord. And I pray for a gushing forth. I pray now for an injection of faith, Lord. It's you that does the work. We just need to present ourselves, Lord. And I pray for those that feel insignificant, feel restless, Lord. I pray that as they present themselves tonight, right now, Lord, they would feel new rain and something fresh in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, so just in worship, I felt this word, and I said to Kevin, just let him know about it. But I felt for this congregation like the Lord wants to take us from teenagers to dads and moms, to fathers and mothers. And there's this idea of a teenager, you know, you see them get into a kitchen and they just take, man. They take whatever they want, so open cupboards, eat, take. But the father and the mother provide. They're thinking about others. They're putting in. And I see a lot of old faces here who've now got kids. You can tell dads and moms because they're not dressed like they used to when they were teenagers, right? They go without. You shop at Pick and Pay Clothing to provide for your kids. And there's just a sense of it's not about me. I now exist for others.
Powerful. And he wasn't here last night. He didn't know what I shared on. But this is what I shared for the congregation. It's time to mature. It's time not just to take, but actually to step up and to contribute and give. And so just once again, this echo that God is, in a sense, calling this congregation, us, to rise up and grow up. So last night, I touched on one of the aspects that we are his ambassadors. God has called us to be here for a specific purpose, and we're actually his. We're not just here for ourselves. We are his. And I mentioned that we are chosen as ambassadors. We've got a message. We spoke about that last night, but we also have a task, and that task is to make disciples. And I want to share on that and actually get very practical, because I believe that is one of the key things God wants, not just to move this congregation, but the whole of Joshen. There was 2 translocal gifts into Joshen this year. And one of the gifts was an evangelistic gift that said he picked up in the church that there's a lot of discipleship and training into churchianity, but it's God's calling the church to disciple into Christianity, where we disciple people into Christ. And from that place, the church gets healthy and beautiful. And then Brad Verena was here spending time with Josh, and he picked up one of the areas that we need to grow in is the area of discipleship. And in my preparation for the time, yeah, I felt the Lord highlight that. That's going to be key for the growth that God wants to bring into this congregation, is the aspect of discipleship. And I'm not sure what you think of when you think about discipleship. I know this is not a new topic. You probably have heard a lot about this topic. But I do believe this is one of the old wells God wants to pour out new rain on and prepare us for what he wants to do. So this is not something new, but I believe this is from the Lord for us. So I'm not sure what comes to mind. It might feel intimidating. It might feel, oh, here we go again. But you know what? It's all just about presenting ourselves and say, here I am, Lord. It's very doable as we open up ourselves for him. It's very possible. It's powerful. It's very personal. It's very practical. And it's his plan. And so let's posture ourselves correctly. I remember going to Russia earlier this year and last year. But when we got there last year, it was one of our first trips into another country where they don't really speak English. And as I got there, it was extremely overwhelming. You have to go through customs, and there's this Russian tannies. I mean, you just one look, and they strike the fear of the Lord in you. You know, it's like, oh, what's this tannie going to do? And it's like, it's super intimidating, the whole vibe. It's dull. It's like, and so you walk in there and you're overwhelmed. It's what's going on here? I don't know what to do. And then eventually they clear you and you go out and there's no English words. A 6 is a B and a B is a V and an N is an I. And there's all these, and so you can't even make out because the letters that you understand them to be is not what it is in Russia. So it's super confusing. There's some guys there. It's like, whoa, it looks like a toddler wrote on the walls, you know? And so now you're going to make sense of that. And you meet people and you get a taxi and the guy doesn't speak any English. And it's like, oh, I just hope I get where I need to be, you know? But you don't have internet. You're not connected with a SIM card. And so you feel super vulnerable in this new land. We don't understand their ways. You don't understand their culture. And you don't understand their language. And what helps is if you meet a Russian who can actually help you and explain to you the language and explain to you the ways and explain to you their customs and cultures. And that helped us tremendously in this new land. And isn't that what happens with someone that gets saved? They're part of another world. And then suddenly they get saved and they're into this new world. They're saved into this new life, a new creation. And now they've got to discover the way. The language, the culture. And it's super overwhelming. But if someone would take the time and actually help them and explain to them and walk them through it, they would be able to navigate themselves through the new land. I was overwhelmed. There's trains under the ground, escalators that goes on for days. And it's like, where is this going? You're nervous. And if someone just explains, someone gives you the app and says, this is how you do it. Here's the manual. Let me explain you how to use the manual. It's like, oh, because I downloaded the Yaga app. Well, not Yaga. What's the... What was the app? Where's the people that went, eh? No, it was not Google Translate. It was another app. It was a young, I don't know. It was some Google Map type thing, but it was their thing. But you didn't know how to work it until someone explained to you how to Yandex, how to navigate. And that's sometimes when people get enslaved into this new life, they need someone to explain to them how to navigate and utilize the manual, the Bible. And so we trust in God that God would add people, not for numbers' sake, but because He desires all men to be saved. And so we want to position ourselves and help those that God send. I look at the indicators of all the congregations, and you see a lot of visitors coming in, a lot of people responding to the gospel, and then you see congregations, their growth just remains like this. And that shows that when people respond to the gospel, there's no one that's helping them. There's no one that's showing them the way. There's no one that's explaining to them. And so there's something, if you look at that, just that indicators, there's something that we're missing. There's a reluctance within us. And we've got to own that and repent of that and position ourselves correctly and say, God, here I am, use me. Whether I'm newly saved or saved for 30 years, God, here I am, use me. So why should I give myself to this? So the harvest is ready and we need to go make disciples. Why should we give ourselves to this? As I shared yesterday, we are His ambassadors. We're here for a task. One of the most unhelpful thing in church cultures these days is that they teach a lot about your purpose, your destiny, what is God's will for your life. But if you do that teaching outside of the context of understanding that we are His ambassadors, it's very unhelpful. Because first and foremost, we're His. We're His representations here on the earth. Think about it. The Bible says in that same context, He makes us a new creation. So part of that new creation is He makes us an ambassador. We are now His. And in the context of understanding that I'm representing a king and a country, that understanding, I try and discover, what does God want me to do? But some people, it's like, what is God's plan for my life? I just want to know, what is my destiny, my purpose? And you pursue that, and you start neglecting the fact that you are actually His representation here on earth. So why do we do it? Because we are His, and we are here for a specific task and a purpose. Many times we ask the question, but what do I have to give? And you're probably asking that question now. What do I have to give? What do I have to offer? But you know that that's the wrong question to ask. The better question, the right question, the more helpful question to ask is, who called me? Because if you ask that question, your focus is not on what you have or don't have. The focus is on the one that has everything that you need for life and godliness. He says that I've blessed you with every blessing in the heavenly places for life and godliness. I've given all that you need. He empowers us. He fills us. It even says that He sends us a helper to remind us of what we need to say. We've got a book that we can reference. We've got everything that we need. The only thing that we don't have is the excuse. He's blessed us. And so the right question to ask, if you feel insignificant, if you feel like, what do I have to give? I mean, it's real. But if you turn your focus to Him and you realize He calls me, He has given me everything, let me just take a step and trust Him and learn to trust Him. That's what the stewardship teaching was about, is learning to trust Him. So we are His ambassadors. He's chosen us. I mean, that already is like, okay, cool. I'm here because God Almighty has chosen me. So that's why I'm going to give myself to this task, because He's chosen me. None of you are going to, tonight, like, ask your boss, do I need to come to work? Do you really want me to? What do you want me to do, boss? Do you want me to come to work tomorrow? Do you want me to? What should I do? There's a sense that I have to report for duty. So we don't have to ask, God, what should I do? Should I make a disciple? You just need to report for duty. The task has already been given. He is ambassador. And I think sometimes out of our fears and some out of our insecurities, we learn these unhelpful manners. It looks spiritual. Lord, what do you want me to do? Like, just report for duty and ask who has sent me. Secondly, just put it on, that might not help. Eh? Secondly, why do we need to do it? Because we need to obey his command. He's given us a command. Then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I felt the Lord gave me some key here for us. How do we give ourselves continually to this? I've been a Christian now for 34 years. 34 years I've been a Christian. I've heard a teaching on this multiple times a year. So I probably heard it 400 times easily. But still, it's an area that I constantly, someone shared a prophetic word with me that all of us naturally have one leg slightly taller than the other and more dominant. So if you just walk and you think you're going to walk in a straight line, you're going to naturally walk in a circle over a long period of time. And so that's what sometimes happens, is we just continue to bend away from this. But this is a command given from God. It's we're his, and it's something we need to apply ourselves. But somehow we neglect this, or we're in the church for 20 years, and we think we've outgrown this. But it's not the case. We've given a command. And how do we love the Lord? How do we love the Lord? In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commandments are not burdensome. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That helper was said in the context of obedience. You know, many times we sing, Lord, I love you. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's our worship song. But here it says, true love for God is in obedience. So we can sing, and we can have the most amazing time in God's presence and pour out our hearts. And if we're not making disciples, if we're not giving ourselves, at the very least, if we're not presenting ourselves, then we're not truly loving God. If we're not giving ourselves in obedience. So how do we make disciples? How do we love the God? How do we love our Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength, with all our soul? So how do we make disciples? With all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our minds, with all our soul. That's how we make disciples. It's, why do we do it? Because we love him. You know, it's easy to sing it because it takes very little. But to go make disciples and be rejected, give of your time, give of your finances, give of your energy, give of your life, that's a whole different story. We heard early on, once again, this theme of obedience came through the stewardship teaching. But I tell you this, if as we report for duty and say, Lord, I'm here, I'm going to obey, it's not going to be easy every time. And so be aware that just because it's difficult doesn't mean you should stop. Just because it's uncomfortable, just because it's tough, don't stop. His commandments are not burdensome. Yesterday, I spoke about a community leader and a deacon who at one stage told me they're not interested to give themselves. They don't want to serve. They don't want to be a community leader. They just want to do their thing. And I said how God started shifting his heart and he started presenting himself and they started presenting themselves and say, here I am, Lord, use me. And suddenly God shifted. And then God said, I want you to do this and this. And they just kept on being obedient. Same amount of work, same amount of pressures. He just prophesied here tonight. Commandments of the Lord aren't burdensome. It's not burdensome if you give yourself. It's life-giving. It's our love act. It's our love song. our love song is, Lord, I want to do your will. Isn't it true? What is a disciple? What does it look like? So that's the why. That's the why. I'll get to that one now. So what is discipleship? Discipleship is not a program. It's not a formula. It's not a booklet. We got to establish that. Many churches have given you the booklet, the five-step plan, the follow, fish, fellowship plan. So they give you all the tools, the strategy, the plans. It's not that. It's a relationship. Firstly with him, and then with others. That is discipleship. It's a relationship. Look at the scripture. It says here, there we go. In Mark 13, Jesus is looking for his disciples, and he points them. He pointed the 12 that they might be with him. That they might be with him, and that he might send them out. Discipleship is firstly a relationship where we're with him. I've heard many people in the church say, I can't give myself, I can't be involved in the prayer meeting. I've asked people, can you lead prayer meeting? No, I don't think I should lead the prayer meeting. I'm not in a good space with the Lord. You know, if you get to that point and you realize, I've been asked to contribute and I can't because I'm not in a good place with the Lord, I don't kind of like ignore the request. I fall on my face and I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me because I'm not in a good place. I need to be with you. Even communion, as we take it says that we can take it in an unworthy manner. If we've got issues with one another and there's disunity and we're grumbling against one another, it's unforgiveness, we easily say, but I can't take communion because I've got an issue with a brother, so I'm going to not partake. It's there to cut us. And we realize, I can't take communion. I need to go sort this out immediately because I can't partake of him. I can't remember with saints. I can't remember my Savior of what he's done for me. And the same with this. We're called to be with him. And so when someone asks, can you lead community? I'm not in a good place. No, it's like, Lord, forgive me. I've stopped walking with you. I've stopped spending time with you. Forgive me. It's our love act. It's our love song. So it's firstly, it's a relationship. It's being with him and then having relationship with others. And so here's my definition. We can see it as a relationship. It's within community. Jesus brought guys together and he discipled them in a sense of community. The early church did their discipleship in community. Did anyone see a strategy plan in the book of Acts? You know that the Acts 2:42 to 47 that we hold dear as values, that wasn't their plan. They didn't have a value plan or a value grid or a pattern. They were just people open for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit filled upon them, that was the fruit of their lives. And so there was no plan. But in community, they brought people to Jesus. And they discipled them into the person of Jesus and into the life that he has for his body. And so it's in community. So here's my definition. It's the Spirit-filled act of teaching and loving people into maturity, priesthood, and obedience. And that's within the community of faith. It's a Spirit-filled act. It's relationship. But we've got to be filled with the Spirit. We can't do this in our own strength. There are people that God wants to send here, and it's going to require someone that says, I will reach out to that person, and I would start discipling them. There's people in the shops at the paddle. We had today, we played paddle with the pensioners. And there was someone working, and Jeanette reached out and just felt something prophetically and started sharing. Why? Because she's an ambassador. But she's filled with the Spirit, so she's sensitive. And it's an act of teaching. It says, teach them to obey all that I taught you. It's teaching and loving people to maturity, to priesthood, and obedience. So that's my definition. If you wonder, what is it required of me? It's required that you report for duty and love people to a place where they grow up in the faith. You love them in such a way that they start sharing on participating in church. You love them in such a way that they want to love God through obedience. It's giving yourself in relationship and through that relationship, teaching them how to grow, teaching them how to participate, and teaching them how to obey him. So how do we practically do that? How do you practically do that? And I want to tell you, this is for each one. No one is, what's it? Exempt. Oh, thank you, Terminal. Yes. No one is exempt. No one is exempt from that. It's for each one. We all have been called to this. And maybe you're here and you're a staff. I see there's staff members here. You've been part of this church for decades. There's someone that God wants you to pour out your life into. Be available, be ready, report for duty. Elders, there are deacons that you need to invest your life in. There's new folk that you need to invest your life in. There's people in the community that you need to reach out to. Deacons, there's community leaders. There's saints that you need to pour your life into and bring them to maturity, priesthood and obedience. It's for you that just became a member at the last gathering. This is for you as well. It's for you that's struggling and feeling like you're super, you just need help. It's a time to step up, like Jonah said, and grow up. Even if you feel insignificant. D.L. Moody was a well-known Christian writer, and he went on evangelist, and he went on to preach to millions. Well-known guy. Does anyone know Edward Kimball? He's the guy that shared the gospel with a teenage boy who happened to be D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody reached thousands of people with the gospel. No one knows about Edward. No books written about him. No stories. But he invested his time, his life into someone. And that person led thousands to Jesus. I'm here because there were youth leaders willing to pick me up in my home and take me to a youth meeting. My parents were part of the church, but they invested in me. Driving in their bucket, we would speak and they would share into my life. On youth camps, they made time. They prayed for me. I got filled with the Spirit because there's youth leaders that gave up their weekend to come and lay hands on me and pray for me. And I was filled with the Spirit as a young boy. And then I was at Bible school. And I've seen many guys come to Bible school and just fall off the wagon and actually not serving the Lord anymore. But there were people willing to open up their home that I could live there some weekends, have meals with them, invested in my life. And because of that, I'm walking in what I'm walking today. And you can be that for someone else as well. Practically, can we get practical? There's no plan, but I've got a 9-step plan. This is not a plan. This is just, I think many times we can all sit here and say, yes, I want to love God. I want to give myself to this. But how? Where do I start? How do I do this? And I want to be super basic and make sure that we are able to all participate, because this is for each one. Firstly, we pray. We pray. Lord, who? Who should I go to? Jesus prayed before he chose. It's like, Lord, who? Show me. Show me. Allison is here. Marlon Allison. On eldership team with us. I know Marlo's working here these days, so you got to know some of you. They're having a great time in Durbanville, just saying. they love it there. We love them there. we started, Brian, one of our other elders, he preached on evangelism, and it really just kicked something. It just activated something in the life of our church. And just realizing that, hey, God has called us. We are his ambassadors. He's called us to reach our community, to reach one another. And on the back of that, we encourage everyone to pray and say, Lord, who? Because it will be a shame if we leave here and we don't ask, Lord, who? Or if the Lord told us who, that we should continue to pray for that one that he showed. And she went and she said, she forgot about it, and then eventually the Lord reminded her and she asked, Lord, who? And the Lord laid a lady on her heart. Started praying for the lady. And then one day the lady who she started praying for, his husband was out of town for business, and she got a phone call. And the lady just asked for help and felt to process some things. And they felt, they just drive over there and just go and pray for her, love on her. So they drove, they took off their time. They had other plans, but they felt like they just got a call. It's a lady we were praying for. Let me go and reach out. Unsaved lady. They go there, they pray, they just help with whatever the help was needed at that stage. And then as they went out, Allison just felt, let me ask her if she knows Jesus. And she said, no. And right there, they were able. They were on their way out. And just a moment, let me just ask. They went back in and they led the lady to Jesus. Started with a simple prayer. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of harvest to send forth the workers. There's work for us. It's work for this congregation. Just start with prayer. Something we all can do. Secondly, reach out. Reach out to a visitor. Reach out to someone new at church, a colleague at work, a parent at school. While you're standing there waiting for the kids to come out, and there's the mom from the, you know, those land, the fortunate mommies, where their white tuckies and their, yeah, it's not in Sunnydale. just say, Lord, who am I reaching out? Am I just, and you don't have to go and like, do you know Jesus? Let me tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to do that. All you can just go is, how are you guys? How's your family doing? Anything I can pray for. But it's just simply being willing to reach out. Whoever the Lord highlights. We have a lady, I'm not sure if she's here tonight, but a lady recommitted, just kind of got stuck into the life of the church. She was a Christian. But she came to visit our church, and someone in the congregation met her at the door. She came in as a visitor. Our lady in our congregation realized that, welcomed her, loved on her. And I think we sometimes do that good. Oh, you're a new person. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are loved. Like, we don't have the boards, you know. You are loved. You're so welcome. We don't have that. We present ourselves and we say, we love you, welcome. But then we stop there sometimes and people come and sit and there's no further reaching out. There's no further engagement. And so this lady that came to visit went to go sit. And the lady from our congregation who greeted her, meeting started, and she walked in and she walked past her. She saw her there, and she realized, oh, she's sitting on her own. But she already had her Bible on the seat in front. So she went, got a Bible, and walked back and went to go sit next to her. And said, can I sit here next to you? And she's like, yeah. She sat next to her, and for the whole meeting, didn't know her, just met her at the door. Just sat next to her so that she doesn't feel lonely and on her own. That's the reason that young lady kept on coming to church, because someone, she was looking for churches. And all the other churches, no one made effort. But because someone reached out, she stayed. She has invited a heap of people to the church who's responded to the gospel and actually came in and started joining the church. She had a field of influence that we didn't have, but because someone was just willing to go sit there, it actually helped that there was about 3 or 4 other people whose eternal destiny has completely changed because of one simple act of just sitting on another seat. It's as simple as just saying, Lord, I'm reporting for duty. How can I reach out? And it can just actually be going to sit next to someone else. So when you come to church, you know, you might feel like, oh, I'm just limping along. I'm needy. You're here to serve. You're part of the body. So give yourself. Give yourself and just say, Lord, what can I do? Okay. Invite. So pray, reach out, and invite someone. Invite someone for a meal, for coffee, for conversation about faith. Invite them to a Sunday meeting. It's very easy to invite. Invite. So we can invite people from the outside into our Sunday meetings, into our meetings, but when there's people here, invite them into your life. If you want to disciple someone, it's like, where do I start? Just invite them for a meal. Just have a meal, have a coffee. Just invite them into your space. Remember, it's a relationship with him and a relationship with others. It's being with him and with others. So just invite people into your life, into your space, into conversations. So what do you believe about this? And just have those conversations. Then introduce. Something else that you can do is introduce. And then introduce them to the next step. They might have responded to the gospel. This is something that our congregation is still learning as we are growing and as the Lord's working with us. And I think it's one of the areas that we need to grow in as a whole. If someone responds to the gospel, some other church thinks, oh, there's some work for the pastor. There's some work for the elders. Or the deacons are the guys who serve. so they can go and serve that person that has just responded. When someone responds to the gospel, that's the moment where the whole church needs to go, hoo-hoo-hoo! It's like, there's someone that I can invite for a meal. I can invite for a conversation. I can invite into my house. I can invite and explain to them what are the next steps. I mentioned that I saw there's sometimes a lack where people respond to the gospel and the amount of baptisms are much lower than the responses. It shows that we're missing this step, that we're not introducing them to what happens next. You know, this is opportunity. Oh, but they first need to understand what it truly is about. That Ethiopian just saw water when Philip preached at him. It's like, what hinders me from getting baptized? Well, nothing. There's water. Let's go for it. Like, no, they first need to do the foundation course, and then they can go under the water. Where? I don't see that. I understand why it's helpful and important, and I think they should do it. Even if they do get baptized, I think they need to, or you can do it. Don't wait for the course. Sit with them, open up the scripture, and explain to them why they want to go under the water, because it's a great opportunity for you to publicly say, this response that I had, it's for real. And I'm going to give myself to the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to unite with his death and his resurrection. Here we go. And so you can have those conversations. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that we, for some reason, we wait for a Sunday when the elders eventually decide this is a Sunday this year that we're going to preach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's that one Sunday in a year. It's like, hey, we need to spin that plate. Let's preach. And then it's like, then people that have responded to the gospel comes forward. Those who've never been baptized come. And I think we should have those Sundays, but we don't have to wait for them. If someone responds to the gospel, I think it was Paul that got to a group of people that responded to the gospel. And he got there and he's like, okay, but have you guys got baptized? Yeah, we got baptized. I think under the baptism of John or something like that, they said. And he's like, no, but what about the Spirit? You need to be baptized in the Spirit. And in water. And so he was like, that was essential. That was the essential part of their salvation, was to be baptized and filled with the Spirit. Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We neglect that part of their salvation story. How, you know, they're just in this new land, but you don't give them the helper. You don't introduce them to the helper. And so that's a great opportunity to have those conversations and introduce them to the helper. Pray for them. I remember Ingrid. It's a lady that responded to the gospel in one of our meetings. And Ingrid met her in the coffee shop before the meeting and had a conversation. It was like, oh, you're new? Yeah, yes, I'm new. I figured out she responded to the gospel a few weeks ago. And it's like, that's so wonderful. And she's like, yeah, but it's difficult. I'm struggling to come, like, stay in it. And Ingrid said, but have you been filled with the Spirit? It's like, no. Well, let me explain to you why you are struggling. This is why you're struggling, because you haven't been filled with the Spirit. Can I pray for you now? In the coffee shop before the meeting, prayed for her, and the young lady got filled with the Spirit. In the coffee shop. Why not? Why not? You know, it's just introducing someone when you have the opportunity. Relationship and conversation. And it created the space for that. What does a healthy devotional time look like? What is the basics of our faith? And introduce them to that. How are we doing for time? Oh, goodness. Jock, sorry. Oh, what just happened? Okay. Do life together. I'm going to run through that just for the sake of time. Do life together. Invite people into your life. Eat meals together. Read Bible together. Pray together. Play golf together. Play paddle together. There they can see how you deal with disappointment. How you can deal with cheating, you know. So they can see how you navigate those things and actually learn from your example. Pull them into your life. See how you raise children. I once heard someone say that they went on an outreach with me. He's an elder in a congregation now. We stayed in the same house, and he was playing a game on his phone. And I looked at him, I'm like, oh, it's one of those mind puzzle games. And I was like, can I play with you? And we started playing, and I just had so much fun with him. 5 years later, he phones me, and he says, I just want to say thank you for that moment, because I always had an issue with leaders. But that night, something broke. And I realized I could engage leaders. I don't have to be afraid. I can, a simple act, and something shifted in his heart. Do life together. There's, and I want to tell you this. You might get it wrong, and you might mess up, and you might be a resilient people. Resilience means if you bounce back quickly. So if you stop and you realize I'm not doing so great, I've stopped doing it, just bounce back quickly. Don't like, oh, I haven't had someone in my house. Oh, just invite. Just jump back quickly. Be resilient and get people in your space. I've made many mistakes. And you know what? You don't have to do everything. Just do your part. Just do your part. There's two elders in the Wellington congregation. Both of them at different times responded to the gospel. One, both of them actually joined our community. And I started discipling them. Played golf with them. Went and pulled them in and said, join us on outreaches to the community. Let's just do stuff together. And great opportunities for the guys. Pulled them in into the youth leadership team. And just disciple them. And then eventually I moved on and others stepped into that role. And then I introduced the one to someone else, and someone else took it further in a sense. I was still a young guy. But I did my part. They came from brokenness, real brokenness. The one was a drug dealer. And eventually went back into drugs and then came out, and his life was completely changed around. Needs a congregation or outreach congregation in the township in Wellington now. And I just did my part. It's not a boast about myself here, but I was just, and I didn't make a lot of mistakes. I sometimes repented and said, Lord, I missed it. I didn't do enough, or I didn't use that opportunity. Forgive me. But I just kept at it. I look back and I think I didn't do a great job. But imagine I didn't do the part that I did. And that's the key thing. Do your part. Do life together. Be present. That's the key thing. You don't have to be perfect, but be present. Share. Share what God is teaching you. Be honest and model growth. They're not looking for perfection. Share your failures. Share what you are learning. But share out of your experiences. Because that's real. They don't want the Bible teaching. They want to know, how do I walk with God? How do I grow in my faith? So share and be honest. Last three, then we're going to land it. Model something to that. And you see example. Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he said, do and follow my example. They need to see you praying. So invite them to a prayer meeting. They need to see you loving your wife, loving your husband. They need to see you loving your children. They need to see you passionate, worshiping the Lord. Model it to them. Include them. Invite them to prayer meetings, to fellowship times, to training times, to prayer meetings. Pull them in. So have them for a meal. Spend time with them. Have the conversations. Introduce them to the foundations of the faith. But also say, come join me for prayer meeting. One of our elders is in Living Waters this week in the Netherlands, and then they're going to have some holiday there. They said that 90% of their congregation in the Netherlands was at their prayer meeting before the service. 90%. That didn't happen just because of great preaching. That happened because the saint said, I'm going to bring you with. Come with. Come with. Come with. Come with. Come with. Come with. I'm going to see you there. And so now they're actually devoting themselves, and you're discipling someone into devotion just by inviting them and bringing them along. Activate, and that's the last one. Activate. Give opportunities. Say, come and pray at community, or come and here's an opportunity to share the gospel. This guy got saved on Sunday. We're going to take him for coffee. And you share what the Lord has done in your life. And so that way you're creating opportunities for the person to grow themselves. Elders, there's people that you need to create space for and give opportunities to. So activate them, because we want to make disciples that make disciples. Amen? Has that been helpful? To conclude,